to believe this lie?
There isn't any.
Who would you be in your home if you didn't believe this lie?
I guess I would enjoy the fact that I do love him and not get caught up in the rest of it.
Yes, and the next time you speak to him, you might want to say, "You know, sweetheart, I must love you a lot because I am patient. I've been fooling myself. I've been telling you I'm too impatient to wait. And it's not true."
Yes.
That's what I love about integrity. Each time we go inside, that's where it is. It's a sweet place to live in. So let's turn it around. I'm too impatient to wait. What is the extreme opposite of that, the 180-degree turnaround?
I'm not too impatient to wait.
Yes. Isn't that as true or truer?
It's truer. Definitely truer.
Let's look at your next statement.
I'm going to read it because I wrote it. David shouldn't think that I'll wait forever. Which I have been doing, of course.
So he shouldn't think that, is it true?
Of course not.
No. He has all the proof that you will wait.
Yes.
So, how do you react when you think this? You know what I love, sweetheart? The thoughts that used to send us into deep depression. These same thoughts, once understood, send us into laughter. This is the power of inquiry.
It's amazing.
And it just leaves us with, "You know, honey, I love you." Unconditional love.
Yeah.
And it's nothing more than clarity. So how do you react when you believe the thought that he shouldn't think you'll wait forever?
I'm fooling myself if I believe what I wrote.
Yes, and it's very painful to live a lie. We're like children. We're so innocent. The whole world would tell you that you're right to be impatient.
I certainly believed it up until today.
But when you go inside, you can see what's really true. It makes sense that no one else can cause you pain. That's your job.
Yes, it's a lot easier to blame it on the other person.
Well, but is that true? Maybe it's easier not to. And it's the truth that sets us free. I came to see that there was nothing to forgive, that I was the one who caused my own problems. I found just what you're finding. Let's look at your fourth statement.
I need David to stop saying that he doesn't want to hurt me when he keeps doing things that hurt me.
He wants to hurt you. Can you really know that that's true?
No, I can't really know that.
He wants to hurt you. Go inside and see if it's true.
I don't know how to answer this. He says he doesn't.
I would believe him. What other information do you have?
His actions.
He wants to hurt you. Can you absolutely know that that's true?
No.
And how do you react when you believe this? How do you treat him?
I don't treat him well. I basically lay on the guilt.
Basically, you act as if you want to hurt him.
Oh, I see. I see.
So of course you would project that he wants to hurt you. The truth is that you want to hurt him. You're the projector of it all, the storyteller of it all.
Is it that easy, really?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
If I think that someone else is causing my problem, I'm insane.
I see. So, we cause our own problems?
Yes, but only all of them. It's just been a misunderstanding. Your misunderstanding, not theirs. Not ever. Not even a little. Your happiness is your responsibility. This is very good news. How does it feel when you live with a man you believe wants to hurt you?
It feels terrible.
So give me a stress-free reason to believe the thought that your husband wants to hurt you.
I can't think of one.
Who would you be living with your husband if you didn't believe this thought?
I'd be a very happy person. I can see that so clearly now.
He wants to hurt me. Turn it around.
I want to hurt myself. Yes, I understand that.
Is that as true or truer?
Truer, I think.
That's how we are. We don't know another way until we do. That's what we're here for this evening. We sit together, and we find another way. There's another turnaround. He wants to hurt me.
I want to hurt him. Yes, that's truer too.
And there's still another turnaround. He wants to hurt me. What's the 180-degree turnaround?
He doesn't want to hurt me.
He could be telling you the truth. That's just as possible. Okay, I'd like to go back. You want to hurt your husband. Is that really true?
No. No, I don't.
No, sweetheart. None of us would ever hurt another human being if we weren't confused. That's my experience. Confusion is the only suffering on this planet. How does it feel when you hurt him?
It doesn't feel good at all.
Yes, and that feeling is a gift. It lets you know that you've moved from your integrity. Our thoughts say, oh, I shouldn't hurt him, but we don't know how to stop. Have you noticed?
Yes.
It just goes on and on. So through self-realization, the way we're experiencing it here, through these realizations, the doing changes. I was the same as you. I couldn't change. I couldn't stop hurting my children and myself. But as I realized what was true for me, with the questions alive inside me, the doing changed. The problems stopped. I didn't stop them. They stopped. It's just that simple. Now, what has he done? You said that his actions prove that he wants to hurt you. What's an example of that? Where's your proof?
To put it simply, he had an affair, and he told me about it 5 months ago. The feelings they had for each other are still very much there, and they still talk and see each other. Those are the actions.
Okay. Now watch the two of them in your mind. Can you see them?
I've seen them many times.
Now look at your husband's face. Look at him looking at her. Now look at him for just a moment without your story. Look at his eyes. Look at his face. What do you see?
Love for her and happiness, but also hurt because they're not together. He wants to be with her.
Is that true? Can you absolutely know that it's true?
Not absolutely. No, I can't.
Who's he with?
Oh, he's with me.
He wants to be with her. Is that true? Who's he with?
Okay. Yes, I see what you're saying.
He wants to be with her. Is that true? Who's stopping him? He's free.
And I've made that clear, too.
So how do you react when you think the thought that he wants to be with her?
Oh, I hurt.
And he's living with you?
I guess I'm not fully in the present. I'm not living the fact that he loves me and he's with me.
He's living with you, and in your mind, you have him living with her. So no one's living with the guy. Here's this beautiful man, and no one's living with him. I want him to live with me. I want him to live with me. Well, when are you going to begin? How do you treat him when you believe that he wants to be with her and the truth is that he's living with you?
I don't treat him well. I push him away.
And then you wonder why he likes to be with her.
Yes. Yes.
Give me a stress-free reason to believe the thought that he wants to be with her when the fact is he's with you.
A stress-free reason?
You can't make him come home. He comes home because he wants to. Who would you be if you didn't believe this thought?
Oh, I would have no problem.
He wants to be with her. Turn it around.
He wants to be with me.
Yes, that could be as true or truer.
Yes, yes.
I heard you say he looked happy.
Yes.
Isn't that what you want?
Oh, I definitely want his happiness. I've told him so, at whatever price.
I want his happiness. Turn it around.
I want my happiness.
Yes.
Very badly.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You want him to be happy because that makes you happy. I say skip the middleman, be happy now. He'll follow. He has to, because he's your projection.
Yes.
His happiness is his responsibility.
Definitely.
And yours is your responsibility.
Yes, I understand.
No one can make you happy but you.
I don't know why that is so difficult.
Maybe because you think it's his job to love you and make you happy when you don't know how to yourself. I can't do that. You do it.
It's easier to give it to somebody else.
Is that true? How could he prove that he loves you? What could he do?
I have no idea.
Isn't that interesting? Maybe he doesn't either. Except maybe he can just come home and be your husband.
Yesterday I would have said he can prove it by not seeing her again. That would have made me happy. Now I can't say that.
You're seeing reality a bit more clearly. Let's look at the next statement.
What do I think of him? I don't know what to say. I love him.
Turn it around.
I love myself. That has taken me a while.
Don't you just love yourself when you love him?
I never saw it like that. Yeah.
Let's look at the next one, Angel.
I don't ever want to feel that my happiness depends on somebody loving me.
I am willing, and read it again.
I am willing to feel that my happiness depends on somebody loving me.
Yes, because it's going to hurt to believe that thought. And then judge him again, or whoever it is, ask four questions, turn it around, and bring yourself back to sanity, back to peace. The pain shows you what's left to investigate. It shows you what's blocking you from the awareness of love. That's what pain is for.
I look forward to feeling that my happiness depends on somebody loving me?
Yes, some of us are returning to sanity because we're tired of the pain. We're in a hurry. No time to mess around. It's good that you think, oh, I'd be happier if he were different. Write it down. Put it up against inquiry. The baby shouldn't scream. In the next dialogue, Sally explores some of the thoughts about parenting that we believe for centuries. My kids should do what they're told. Children aren't supposed to lie. Parents know what's best. Can you absolutely know that that's true? As you listen, think of the people in your family whom you've tried to mold or change. You might believe that it's only for their own good, but how does it feel when you try to manipulate the people you love? Are you teaching them that your love is conditional? Maybe through inquiry, we can find another way.
I'm looking for a way to work through my depression.
Okay, let's see what cause we're dealing with. What confused thoughts you're believing that aren't true for you and therefore leave you depressed.
My son irritates me when he's not responsible. He doesn't do his homework. He doesn't do his chores like I've told him every day for the past 8 years. I mean, it's like it's new every day.
Yes, I hear you clearly. Do you hear yourself? You are such an influence on his life. For 8 years, you've been giving him guidance. For 8 years, it hasn't worked.
I get it, but it goes against my grain not to say anything. I can't just let him do whatever he wants. As a parent, I am responsible for my children's choices and their consequences and for the people they become.
Inquiry is for people who really want to know the truth. Do you really want to know the truth?
Yes.
The beautiful thing about this work is that it's your truth as a parent, not the world's, that we're about to deal with. You're responsible for your children's choices. Is that true?
Well, no. The truth is, I haven't been able to control what he does. I don't have any control over it. But I feel like I'm supposed to.
You said, I don't have any control over it. That's what goes against your grain. Even though you don't have control over anything, you think you should. The effect of this thought is anxiety, frustration, and depression.
Isn't it depressing to think that I have no control over anything? I mean, why should I even try? I get so frustrated that I don't even want to be there taking care of him. Sometimes I just don't even want to be a mom.
Is it true that you have to take care of your son? Who makes you do that?
Well, no one, really. I do. No, it's probably not true that I have to take care of him.
I would drop the probably.
It's truer that I do want to take care of him, even when I don't like what he's doing.
You've just found a wonderful truth within you. This truth brings great freedom. You don't ever have to take care of your son again. You never had to in the first place. That means that he doesn't owe you a thing. You're not doing it for him. Now you understand that you're doing it for yourself. With this awareness, you serve your children, knowing that you are there because you want to be there, serving them and teaching them by the way you live. You do it simply because you love them and because you like yourself when you do that. It's not about them. This is unconditional love, even though it's a totally selfish act. It's truth owning itself. Once this is experienced, self-love becomes so greedy that there's no limit to the people it can serve. That's why to love one person unconditionally is to love all people. All right, let's travel inside to the answers that you may not be aware of yet. Your son should do his homework. Is it true?
Yes.
Can you absolutely know that it's true that he should do his homework?
I pay for him to go to a private school. I know it's true.
Yes. And can you absolutely know that it's true that he should do his homework? Does he do his homework?
80% of the time.
So he's supposed to do his homework 100% of the time. Is that true? What's the reality of what he has done for 8 years?
What has he been doing for 8 years? He only does it about 80%. And I'm supposed to be happy with that? To just accept it?
It doesn't matter whether you accept it or not. The reality is that he does about 80%. I'm not saying that he won't do 100% tomorrow. But for now, that's reality. Are you supposed to just accept it? Let's see, for 8 years... You've been arguing with reality, and you've always lost. The effect of that has been stress, frustration, and depression. Let's turn this whole thing around.
I irritate me when I don't do my homework and my chores. Yes, that's true. I do that, and I get really upset with myself then. Okay, I see that I'm expecting him to do more than what I'm actually doing.
When you have the thought that he should do his homework and chores, then notice the turnaround. Do your homework and chores, 100%. Could it be your example that taught him to do 80%? Or maybe you do 50% and he does 80%. He could be your teacher.
That's really good. I get it. I haven't modeled 100%. I also got really depressed about my baby last year. He wasn't the baby I wanted him to be. He was sick all the time, and he didn't sleep much. He wasn't happy. He's still not a friendly child. He screams when he sees people. I got so depressed.
He's not a friendly child. Is that true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? He's not a friendly child on the inside?
No.
How do you react when you think that thought about your child?
I become fearful about how people will treat him in his life. I imagine that his life will be hard because it will be hard for people to love him, and no one will ever want to have a family with him because he's so unfriendly, and before long there's no hope for him in my mind. He'll never have friends is what I feel. That's why I get depressed when he sees people and begins to cry.
So who would you be without that thought?
I would be peaceful. I would just love him exactly the way he is.
With the thought, you're depressed. Without the thought, you're not depressed. So, sweetheart, can you see that it's your uninvestigated thinking, not your child's behavior, that is depressing you? Can you see that he has nothing to do with it? He's not supposed to scream when he sees people. Is that true?
No.
What's the reality?
He does.
How do you react when you believe the thought that he's not supposed to scream when he sees people and he does scream?
I get depressed. I feel sad and embarrassed. My mother says that I'm spoiling him. People say he's weird. Then I think, oh no, he's weird. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with me? And when he cries, I even find myself screaming at this baby to shut up, which seems to make him scream even louder, and it doesn't work. He doesn't stop crying.
So again, we find that it's not his behavior that depresses you. That's not possible. It has to be your own mental behavior that depresses you. This is natural when you believe the thought that he shouldn't scream while he is screaming, and that his screaming means that there is something wrong with him and something wrong with you. That's depressing. We want our children to validate the caring, the love, the nurturing, the acceptance that we aren't giving ourselves. Otherwise, why do we need them to behave according to our ideal? When you're saying a screaming child just is what it is, a screaming child, and you're present in your thoughts and in the actions that follow from a clear, loving mind. So how do you treat your baby when you think that he shouldn't scream when he sees people?
I tell him to be happy. Let's be happy, happy, happy.
So you teach him that he's wrong. If he's screaming and you tell him, let's be happy, you teach him that he's wrong. He thinks that he's a failure in your eyes. But if you're sane and calm and happy, even though he's screaming, then through your example, you show him another way to live.
I'm telling him not to be who he is.
Yes, you're telling him to be different than he is. That's conditional love. Sweetheart, close your eyes and just for a moment, picture him screaming without your story.
It's actually kind of cute. That's just who he is. I just want to hold him and say, ah, that's okay.
You're becoming intimate with your son and he's not even in the room. Close your eyes now and look at your mother saying to you, what is the matter with that child? Are you spoiling him again? Look at her without your story.
That's just my mother telling her story. And that's my son screaming his little heart out. They're both just being who they are. Nothing depressing there.
I hear you say that your son isn't a friendly child. Can you absolutely know that it's true, sweetheart?
No.
How do you react when you think that thought?
Sad, protective, depressed, frustrated. I want to run and I want to stay and I'm miserable and I feel like a failure as a mom.
Can you see a reason to drop that thought? And I'm not asking you to drop it. You didn't bring it about. So how can you drop what you didn't cause? In my experience, we don't make thoughts appear. They just appear. One day I noticed that their appearance just wasn't personal. Noticing that makes it simpler to inquire. I only want to know if you can see a reason to drop the thought that he isn't a friendly child.
Yes, I can see several.
Can you see a sane or stress-free reason to keep this thought? A reason that is not stressful?
No, I can't find one.
Who would you be at home with your child without that thought?
I see. Without that thought, I would be peaceful and clear. I wouldn't be depressed.
So what I'm learning from you is that no child can ever cause your depression. Only you can. What I hear from you is that with the thought, there's stress, and without the thought, there's peace. It's no wonder that when we blame others for our insanity, we feel bad. We've been looking outside us for our own peace. We've been looking in the wrong direction.
I can't believe it's so simple.
If it weren't so simple, I never would have found it. Good. Welcome to the work. I need my family's approval. When Justin sat down to do the work with me, he seemed like a misunderstood, idealistic teenager. It's not easy to find your own way when you believe that you need love, approval, and appreciation or anything from your family. It's particularly hard when you want them to see things your way, for their own good, of course. As inquiry progresses, Justin internally rejoins his family while at the same time he honors his own path.
I'm angry and confused and saddened by my family because they judge me. I'm angry that there is a mold that is placed before me. I'm angry at my family and acquaintances for thinking that their path is the only way. It saddens me that I receive the most love when I assume the predestined pattern and I follow the way they think things should be.
Good. And the next statement?
I want my family to be who they are and not limit their love and attention according to their perception and idea of my progress. I want them to accept me as I learn my own truth in this life and love me for having found parts of my own truth and foundation.
Good. Read the first one again.
I'm angry and confused and saddened by my family because they judge me.
Okay. And not only is it the job of a parent, but it's the job of everyone in this world to judge. That's our job. What else is there? Everything's a judgment. Give me a thought that's not a judgment. It's a sky. That's a judgment. That's what we do. So parents shouldn't judge their children. Is that true? What's the reality of it, do they?
Yes.
Yes, honey, that's their job. How do you react when you think the thought, my parents aren't supposed to judge me?
Well, it weakens me because I feel that I need to, I don't know, I disagree with some of the things that I've been taught.
Let's stay in inquiry. Watch as your mind wants to move into its proof that it's right. When you notice this happening, gently move back to the question, how do you react when you think that thought? It weakens you. What else?
It stops me in my tracks, and I feel terrified.
How do you treat your parents when you believe the thought, I want you to stop judging me, and they keep judging you?
I rebel, and I become distant. And that's been my past so far.
Yes. So can you see a reason to drop this philosophy, which would argue with the reality of the ages, that parents shouldn't judge their children?
Yes.
Okay. Now what I want you to do after all these years is to give me a reason that is not stressful. Just give me one sane or stress-free reason inside you to keep such a ridiculous lie.
Well, it's a foundation for your life. It's like a religious belief.
Does that reason feel peaceful?
No. There isn't a peaceful reason.
This is an insane belief. People should stop judging people. What planet do you think you're on? Make yourself at home here. When you come to planet Earth, you judge us and we judge you. That's it. It's a nice planet to live on once you get the ground rules straight. But this theory of yours is in direct opposition to what's really happening. It's crazy. Who would you be without the thought? Who would you be if you didn't have the ability to think such a crazy thought? I want my parents to stop judging me.
I would have inner peace.
Yes. It's called playing with a full deck. This is the end of the war inside you. I'm a lover of reality. How do I know I'm better off with what is? It's what is. Parents judge. That's it. You've had a lifetime of proof to know that this is true. So, honey, turn it around. Let's see what's possible. Let's see what does work.
I'm confused and saddened by me because I judge myself.
Yes, and there's another one. I'm confused.
I'm confused and saddened by me because I judge my parents and my family.
Yes. So I'll strike a deal with you. When you stop judging them for judging you, then go talk to them about judgment.
That's so true.
When you stop doing what you want them to stop doing, then you can talk to them. It may take a while.
I don't know if I'm ready now.
Yes, sweetheart. Now read number 2 on your worksheet again.
I want my family to be who they are and not limit their love and attention.
They already are who they are. They're people who limit their love and attention and who judge according to you.
Okay.
That's who they are, it seems, until they aren't. That's their job, honey. A dog barks, a cat meows, and your parents judge. And they, what else did you say they do?
Well, they limit their love and attention according to...
Yes, that's their job too.
But they're my family.
Yes, they are. And they limit and they judge. Sweetheart, this philosophy of yours is very stressful. Give me one stress-free reason to keep this philosophy that is so off the wall. I mean, we're talking nuts.
I did feel nuts for quite some time.
Well, you would have to feel nuts for quite some time. You haven't asked yourself what's true and what's not. So who would you be in the presence of your family without this thought? Who would you be without the ability to think this thought that opposes reality?
I'd be fabulous. I'd be so happy.
Yes, I would go with that. It's also my experience.
But I want...
You can say but all you want. They're still going to do their job.
Yes.
Reality doesn't wait for your opinion, vote, or permission, sweetheart. It just keeps being what it is and doing what it does. No, wait for my approval. I don't think so. You lose always. Turn it around. Let's look at the possibilities. I want me.
I want me to be who I am.
Yes.
And not limit my love and attention for myself according to my perception of the idea of my progress. That's hard to eat.
Oh, well, I like the part where you thought your parents should eat the same thing all these years. So just sit with it a moment. I realize that I'm coming on strong, but these are great revelations. Without a story, revelations have room to surface from where they have always lived, inside you. There's another turnaround. Be gentle. I want me.
I'm not seeing it.
Read it the way you wrote it.
I want my family to be who they are.
I want me.
I want me to be who I am and not limit my love and attention according to...
Their
perception and idea of my progress. Wow, I like that one.
Yes, it's living what you wanted them to live.
I just don't want to let it go. It just brings up this turmoil inside me.
It's supposed to, honey. Tell me more about the turmoil. What are your thoughts?
There are 11 children in my family, and they're all just going, "You're not doing the right thing."
Well, they could be right. And you need to live what you need to live. Obviously, you need 11, 12. You need 13 people coming at you so that you can know what's true for yourself. Your path is yours. Theirs is theirs. Let's look at the next statement.
I want them to accept me as I learn my own truth in this life.
They're going to accept what they accept. Have they made you accept the way they live? Can they do that? Have 13 people convinced you to follow their path?
Well, that's my work, right? Because the foundation of their life...
Yes or no? Have they convinced you to walk their path?
No.
So if you can't accept theirs, what makes you think that they can accept yours?
That's true.
Put it in perspective. 13 people can't convince you, and you think... You're going to convince all 13 of them. If this is war, you're outnumbered.
I know.
How do you react when you think the thought, I want them to accept my way, and they don't?
It's painful.
Yes. Lonely?
Oh, yeah.
Can you see a reason to drop this theory that anyone in this world needs to accept you at any time?
I need to drop that.
I'm not asking you to drop it. I'm just asking if you can see a good reason to. You can't drop concepts. You can only shine a little flashlight on them as you do inquiry. And you see that what you thought was true wasn't. And when the truth is seen, there's nothing you can do to make the lie true for you again. An example we can work on is what you've written. I want my family to accept my way. It's hopeless. How do you treat them when you believe that thought?
I get distant.
Who would you be in your family without this thought? I want them to accept my way.
Outgoing. Loving.
Turn it around.
I want me to accept myself as I learn my own truth in this life.
There. If they're not doing it, who does that leave? You. So, sweetheart, can you find another turnaround? I want me.
I want me to accept them as they learn their own truth in this life.
Yes, that's all they're doing. They're just doing what you're doing. We're all doing the best we can. Let's look at the next statement.
I want them to love me for having found parts of my own truth.
Whose business is it who you love?
My own.
Whose business is it who they love?
Theirs.
How does it feel when you're mentally over there running their lives, dictating who they should love and why?
It's not where I should be.
Is it lonely?
Yes, very.
So let's turn it around.
I want me to love them for having found parts of their own truth.
Bingo. Their truth, not yours. They have a way that is so fabulous that all 13 of them agree. Give me an example of what they say that is so painful. What's the most painful thing they could say to or about you?
That I'm lost.
Can you find the place where you've been lost a while?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so they're right. The next time they say, you're lost, you can say, you know, I noticed that too one day. Yes?
Yes.
So what other terrible thing did they say that might be true? I'll tell you that for me, when someone used to say something that was true, one way I knew it was true was that I immediately felt defensive. I blocked it off, and I went to war with them in my mind and suffered all that goes with it. And they were only saying what was true. As a lover of truth, don't you really want to know what that is? Often, it's the very thing that you've been looking for. What else do they say that's painful?
I feel like they interrupt me when I try to describe what I'm going through. So that's painful.
Of course it is. You think we're supposed to listen.
But doesn't a child deserve that?
No, it's not a matter of deserving. They just don't listen. There are 12 kids here. Give us a break. How do you react when you think the thought they should listen to me and they don't?
Lonely.
And how do you treat them when you believe that thought?
I distance myself from them.
Pretty hard to listen when you're way over there.
Yes.
I want them to listen, so I think I'll go away.
Yes, I see your point.
Is it starting to add up a little? Who would you be in that amazing family without that thought? Who would you be if you didn't have the ability to think the thought, I want them to listen to me?
Content and peaceful.
A listener?
A listener.
Let's turn it around. Let's hear how you should live, sweetheart, not your family.
I want me to love myself for having found parts of my own truth and foundation. Yes, I do.
So just be with it a minute. And the other turnaround?
I want me to love them for having found parts of their own truth and foundation. Yes, I totally love them for their happiness, but... Okay.
You caught it. That's big. I love how you realized what's more true for you and the judgment stopped. You left and stayed real. Okay, the next statement?
I already know the answer to this one.
You are good. Once we get the hang of reality, honey,
I yearn for them to respect my music that I make and...
Hopeless.
Yes, it is.
Turn it around.
I yearn for me to respect my music.
There's another one. I yearn for me.
I yearn for me to respect their music?
Here's what their music is. We don't want to listen. We don't want to understand. Come on our path that works for us. We know it will work for you. That's their music. We all have our music, honey. If someone says, come walk on my path, it's beautiful. All I hear is that they love me with all their heart and want to give me what they see as beautiful. It just doesn't always happen to be my way. It's certainly equal to mine, though. And I love it that their way works for them and brings them happiness. All these ways. There's no path that's higher than another. Sooner or later, we begin to notice. The communication for that is, I love it that your way makes you happy. Thank you for wanting to share it with me.
I can handle that when I settle down with everything else. It would be simple to say, I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for me.
Leave yourself out of it. We don't care. We like to hear the part where you're happy for us. Get over it. Painful stuff. No one wants to hear about you, certainly not at the level that we want you to hear about us. That's how it is for now. Knowing that can be the end of the war in you, and there's such strength in that. And I tell you truly that the truth of what we're speaking of today will flow through your music. Isn't that what you want?
Yes. I can't believe I never saw this before.
Oh, honey, I didn't see it for 40 years until I woke up to reality the way you're doing today. It's always just a beginning. You might go home and ask your mom to sit with you for a while. And if she says, no, I don't have time, good. Look forward to it. There's always another way to be with her. If she's changing diapers, you might say, can I help you? Or you might sit with her and just listen to what she's saying. Just watch what she's doing. Invite her to tell you about her path and listen to her life. Watch her light up as she speaks of her God and her way without letting your story interfere. There are many ways to be with your mother. It might be a whole new world for you. It opens an untapped world when you are clear about what you really want. No one can deprive me of my family, no one but me. I love it that you've noticed today. There's no family to save, no family to convert. There's only one, as it turns out, you.
I like that.
Let's look at the last statement on your worksheet.
I refuse to be left unheard.
I'm willing
to be left unheard.
I look forward to.
I look forward to. No, I don't. Well.
If they don't hear you and it hurts, do the work again. They're supposed to hear me. Is it true?
No.
How do you react when you think the thought, they should hear me, and they don't?
Terrible.
So who would you be without this thought, without this lie, they should hear me?
Whoa. It's such a simple question, but there's... Wow, I'd be happy. Peaceful.
They should hear me. Turn it around.
I should hear me.
There's another one.
They shouldn't hear me.
Yes, not unless they do. And there's still another one.
I should hear them.
Yes, hear their song. If I want my children to hear me, I'm insane. They're only going to hear what they hear, not what I say. Let me see. Maybe I'll filter their hearing. Don't hear anything but what I say. Does that sound a little crazy to you? Don't hear anything else. Don't hear your own thoughts. Hear what I want you to hear. Hear me. Insane. And it just doesn't work.
You waste so much energy trying to... Yeah.
Direct their hearing. Hopeless. I want them to hear what they hear. I'm not crazy anymore. I'm a lover of what is. I invite you to go somewhere and be still with yourself this evening. Just be with it. And then you may want to go home and tell your family what you've discovered about yourself. Tell them so that you can hear it. And notice the thought, I want them to hear me. Notice who you are with the thought and who you are without it. Don't expect them to listen. Just say it so you can hear it. Reality is always kinder than the stories we tell about it. Chapter 5. Deepening Inquiry. Now we'll go deeper into the inquiry process and explore each of the questions and turnarounds in greater detail. My intention here is to support you as you begin to travel into the infinite mind and begin to realize that there's nothing to fear. There is nowhere you can travel where inquiry won't safely hold you. The work always brings us back to who we really are. Each belief, investigated to the point of understanding, allows the next belief to surface. You undo that one, then you undo the next and the next. And then you find that you are actually looking forward to the next belief. At some point, you may notice that you're meeting every thought, feeling, person, and situation as a friend. Until eventually, you are looking for a problem. Until finally, you notice that you haven't had one for years. Question 1. Is it true? Sometimes it's immediately obvious that the statement you have written is simply not true. If the answer that comes to you is a clear no, then move on to question 3. Otherwise, let's look at some ways to examine question 1 further. What's the reality of it? If your answer to question 1 is yes, ask yourself, what's the reality of this situation? Let's investigate the statement, Paul shouldn't watch so much television. What's the reality of it? In your experience, does he watch a lot of television? Yes. The reality is that Paul watches between 6 and 10 hours of television on most days. How do we know that Paul should watch so much television? He does. That's the reality of it. That's what is true. A dog barks, a cat meows, and Paul watches television. That's his job. It may not always be that way, but for now, that's the way it is. Your thought that Paul shouldn't watch so much television is just your way of mentally arguing with what is. It doesn't do you any good, and it doesn't change Paul. Its only effect is to cause you stress. Once you clearly see the reality that he watches so much television, who knows what changes can develop in your life? Reality for me is what is true. The truth is whatever is in front of you, whatever is really happening. Whether you like it or not, it's raining now. It shouldn't be raining, is just a thought. In reality, there is no such thing as a should or a shouldn't. These are only thoughts that we impose onto reality. The mind is like a carpenter's level. When the bubble is off to one side, it shouldn't be raining. We can know that the mind is caught in its thinking. When the bubble is right in the middle, it's raining. We can know that the surface is level and the mind is accepting reality as it is. Without the should and shouldn't, we can see reality as it is, and this leaves us free to act efficiently, clearly, and sanely. Asking, what's the reality of it, can help bring the mind out of its story back into the real world. Whose business is it? As I said earlier, I can find only 3 kinds of business in the universe: mine, yours, and God's. And for me, reality is God. Whose business are you in when you're thinking the thought that you've written? When you think that someone or something other than yourself needs to change, you're mentally out of your business. Of course you feel separate, lonely, and stressed. Paul's over there living his life in front of the television set. You're mentally over there living his life, and there's no one here for you. Then you blame your loneliness and frustration on him. Ask yourself, whose business is it how much television I watch? Whose business is it how much television Paul watches? And can I really know what's best for Paul in the long run? Paul should watch less television. Is it true? Whose business is it? Question 2. Can you absolutely know that it's true? If your answer to question 1 is yes, ask yourself, can I absolutely know that it's true? In many cases, the statement appears to be true. Of course it does. Your concepts are based on a lifetime of uninvestigated beliefs. After I woke up to reality in 1986, I noticed many times how people in conversations, the media, and books made statements such as, there isn't enough understanding in the world, There's too much violence. We should love one another more. These were stories I used to believe too. They seemed sensitive, kind, and caring. But as I heard them, I noticed that believing them caused stress and that they didn't feel peaceful inside me. For instance, when I heard the story, people should be more loving, the question would arise in me, can I absolutely know that that's true? Can I really know for myself, within myself, that people should be more loving? Even if the whole world tells me so, is it really true? And to my amazement, when I listened within myself, I saw the world is what it is, nothing more, nothing less. Where reality is concerned, there is no what should be. There is only what is, just the way it is, right now. The truth is prior to every story, and every story prior to investigation prevents us from seeing what's true. Now I could finally inquire of every potentially uncomfortable story, can I absolutely know that it's true? And the answer, like the question, was an experience. No. I would stand rooted in that answer, solitary, peaceful, free. How could no be the right answer? Everyone I knew and all the books said that the answer should be yes. But I came to see that the truth is itself and will not be dictated to by anyone. In the presence of that inner no, I came to see that the world is always as it should be, whether I opposed it or not. And I came to embrace reality with all my heart. I love the world without any conditions. Let's play with the statement, I feel hurt because Paul is angry at me. You may have answered, yes, it's true. Paul is angry at me. His face is red, his neck is throbbing, and he is shouting at me. So there's the proof. But go inside again. Can you really know that it's you Paul is angry at? Can you really know what's going on inside someone else's mind? Can you know by someone's facial expression or body language what he is really thinking or feeling? Have you felt fear or anger, for example, and observe yourself point the finger of blame at the person nearest you? Can you absolutely know what another person is feeling even when he tells you? Can you be certain that he is clear about his own thoughts and emotions? Have you ever been confused about whom or what you were angry at? Can you really know that it's true that Paul is angry at you? To take it a step further, can you really know that you feel hurt because Paul is angry? Is Paul's anger actually causing your hurt? Might it be possible for you, in another frame of mind, to stand there in the full blast of Paul's anger and not experience it personally at all? What if you could simply listen, calmly and lovingly, receiving whatever he says? After inquiry, that was my experience. Suppose your statement is, Paul should stop smoking. Of course he should. Everyone knows that smoking causes lung cancer. Now go in deeper with the question. Can you really know that it's true that Paul should stop smoking? Can you know that his life would be better or that he would live longer if he stopped smoking? Can you really know what is best for Paul on his life's path? Can you know that if Paul stopped smoking, it would be best for him or you in the long run? And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be. I'm just asking, Paul should stop smoking. Can you absolutely know that it's true? If your answer is still yes, good. If you think that you can absolutely know that that's true, it's always fine to move on to question three. Or if you feel a little stuck, you may want to try one or more of the following exercises. When you think that it's true, sometimes you may not feel comfortable with your yes to questions one and two. They may make you feel that you're grinding to a halt in your inquiry. You want to go deeper, but the statement you've written or the thought that's torturing you appears to be an irrefutable fact. Here are some ways to coax your thoughts out into the open, to prompt new statements that can allow inquiry to go deeper. And it means that a powerful way of prompting yourself is to add, and it means that, to your original statement. Your suffering may be caused by a thought that interprets what happened rather than the thought you wrote down. This additional phrase prompts you to reveal your interpretation of the fact. Let's say you wrote, "I'm angry at my father because he hit me." Is it true? Yes. You are angry, and yes, he did hit you many times when you were a child. Try writing the statement with your added interpretation. "I am angry at my father because he hit me, and it means that..." Maybe you would finish the statement with, "and it means that he doesn't love me." Now that you know what your interpretation is, you can take it to inquiry. Write down the new statement and apply all four questions and the turnarounds. "His hitting you means that he didn't love you. Can you absolutely know that that's true?" You may come to realize that it's your interpretation of the fact that is causing you stress. What do you think you would have? Another way of prompting yourself is to read your original statement and ask yourself what you think you would have if reality were, in your opinion, fully cooperating with you. Suppose you wrote, "Paul should tell me that he loves me." Your answer to "what do you think you would have" might be that if Paul told you that he loves you, you would feel more secure. Write down this new statement. "I would feel more secure if Paul told me that he loves me," and put it up against inquiry. What's the worst that could happen? When your statement is about something that you think you don't want, read it and imagine the worst outcome that reality could hand you. Imagine your worst fears lived out on paper. Be thorough. Take it to the limit. Your statement might be, for example, "I'm heartbroken because my wife left me." Now ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen? Make a list of all the terrible events that you think might happen as a result of your present situation. After each frightening scenario that comes to mind, imagine what could happen next. And then what could happen? And then what? Be a frightened child. Don't hold back. When you've finished writing, start at the top of your list and apply the four questions and the turnarounds to each statement. What's the should? A fourth useful prompt is to look for a should or shouldn't version of your original statement. If your anger arises from the belief that reality should have been different, you might rewrite the statement, "I am angry at my father because he hit me," as, "My father shouldn't have hit me." This statement may be easier to investigate. With the first form of this statement, "My father hit me," we know the answer, or we think we know it. Is it true? Definitely yes. We would stake our lives on it. With the rewritten form, "My father shouldn't have hit me," we are not so sure, and we're more open to discovering another, deeper truth. Where's your proof? Sometimes you're convinced that your written statement is true, and you believe that you can absolutely know that it's true, but you haven't looked at your proof. If you really want to know the truth, bring all your evidence into the open and put it to the test of inquiry. Here's an example. Original statement: "I'm saddened by Paul because he doesn't love me." The proof that Paul doesn't love me. 1. Sometimes he walks by me without speaking. 2. When I enter the room, he doesn't look up. 3. He doesn't acknowledge me. He continues to do what he is interested in. 4. He doesn't call me by name. 5. I ask him to take out the trash, and he pretends not to hear me.
6.
I tell him what time dinner is, and sometimes he doesn't show up.
7.
When we do talk, he seems distant.